Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We believe God wants to speak into your life through this message. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationedmonton.com and find us on Instagram and Facebook at CelebrationEDM. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoy this message.
We started last week on a series that we're doing about the Holy Spirit, understanding the Holy Spirit in our life because it is so central to us. And I have a confession to make. This is a risky topic. This is a risky topic because, unfortunately, there are so many paradigms when it comes to the Holy Spirit and what people expect of the Holy Spirit in their life and experience. And, you know, on one side, there are people who maybe just avoid the topic, you know, and maybe even that's kind of what you grew up with in terms of your church experience. It's like, yeah, you know, the King James Bible calls it the Holy Ghost, and we don't talk about ghosts around here, so we just, you know, that was kind of our approach to the Holy Spirit. It's almost like, well, he's here, but we you know, we're not going to say anything. It's like the elephant in the room. On the other side of the spectrum is you have people who look at absolutely everything and anything that happens in the context of a worship service and then attribute it to the Holy Spirit, when in fact it can simply be a person's emotional response to the feeling of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I'll give you something of a story about that. I heard a story about a guy who was at a particularly conservative evangelical church service, and during the worship, he raised his hands in worship, which was already kind of, you know, a little edgy, I guess, if you could say that, for that particular group. And as they're singing and he's raised his hands, he then falls over backwards, landing on his back. People thought, oh my gosh, we must have had a Pentecostal visitor today or something of that nature. Anyway, the truth of the matter is he just had a heart attack and died. You're awake now, right? Yeah. So not everything that happens in the context of a church service is of the Holy Spirit. Okay. At any rate, Jesus, after being crucified and raised from the grave to ascend to heaven, he has this meeting with his disciples, and he says this to them. He says, you know what? He says, you're going to do the same works that I did, and in fact, you're going to do even greater. Even greater. The message of the gospel changing lives all over the world for all these years since the time of the cross is a much greater work than what happened in the 3 years that Jesus was on the earth, or the 3 years of ministry, I should say, of Jesus on the earth. It puts context, though, to what Jesus then begins to talk about, because after that passage of scripture where he says, you're going to do as greater works, in fact, you're going to do even greater, he then goes into talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how it's empowering us to live out our God-given potential, empowering us to minister the gospel to the world around us, to people who do not know Jesus. And so the question becomes, well, what can I expect from the Holy Spirit in my own life? And last Sunday, of course, as we kicked this off, we talked about the first thing Jesus talked about, which was that it was the spirit of adoption, and that the first thing and what is foundational to everything else God does in your life is securing your relationship, the confidence of forgiveness, the knowledge that, you know, your Heavenly Father loves you, accepts you, believes in you, is with you, and is for you. All of that is wrapped up in the Holy Spirit ministering as that spirit of adoption in our lives, the understanding that you are a child of God, unquestionably, because of Jesus. Jesus provided it through his death and resurrection. We receive it by faith in him, and then the Holy Spirit affirms it in our lives. But there's more that Jesus went on to talk about. In fact, there were five other things that Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit would do in our lives. Today, we're going to talk about three of them. John chapter 14 and verse 25, scripture says this, "These things I have spoken to you while remaining with you, but the Helper, The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you. I want to focus on that part. He will teach you all things, remind you of all that I have said to you. You know, when you were in school and you took science, biology, whatever it may be, they taught you about the human anatomy. And so they taught you about, here's a brain, here's where it's located, here's what it does, here's your heart, here's its role, here's your lungs, your liver, your kidneys, your muscles, your skeleton. They taught you the information that compiles everything about your physical body. And in that context of teaching, what it was meant to do and what it did is it increased information and increased knowledge in your life about the human anatomy. But there's another kind of teaching that we experience in life. How many of you remember getting taught how to drive a car? Come on. All right, the rest of you, you're all self-taught. Dangerous room, this dangerous, dangerous self-taught. You stole the car. You have a record. You're wanted in some province, I'm sure. But you remember your mom, your dad, your sibling, whatever, teaching you how to drive a car. I can still remember my dad teaching me how to drive, especially I remember him teaching me how to drive on the highway, because on the weekends, we would go to a cottage about 2 hours away, and back then, the speed limits were a little higher, so it was around like 75 or 120 kilometers for all you millennials. I can remember being on this highway, and if I slowed down underneath the speed limit, he's like, pick it up, get going faster. And I'm a newbie, you know, behind this thing, right? Just getting going on, because it's like, this is a two-hour drive. We don't need to make this any longer. So I have never forgot that experience. But here's the thing. You learn to drive. You learn to drive. And you maybe cannot explain how a four-stroke internal combustion engine works. You don't know the difference between EFI and a carb. In fact, you just think carbs are things you shouldn't eat. You'd likely don't know what a rack and pinion steering is either. But you were taught how to drive a car, and you know how to drive a car. And the car illustration is a lot closer to what Jesus was saying when he said, the Holy Spirit will teach you, than the biology class illustration. Because when Jesus says the Holy Spirit will teach you, it literally means this: he will cause you to know how. He will cause you to know how. The presence of the Spirit of God in your life will cause you to know how. This is what you can expect from the Holy Spirit. This is what you can expect him to do. He's gonna cause you to know how. Don't let your faith get reduced to simply knowing about when you're supposed to know how. Too many Christians know about, but aren't pressing into knowing how, and they're missing experiences in their life that God intended for them to have. The Christian faith is not just about having the right doctrine, it's about having the right experience. Come on. The Christian life is not just about growing in knowledge, it's about growing in actual, real relationship. It's not just about becoming a believer, it is about learning how to be a follower of Jesus. A walk with God is meant to be an experience, not just an encyclopedia. And so the Holy Spirit is given for your empowerment so that you will know how. You will know how. You will know how to pray. So many different things that you have to pray over in life. You will know how to overcome that temptation that seems like a big deal, but the promise of Scripture is that God empowers you to overcome. The Holy Spirit will show you how to overcome. You will know how to forgive. When you think this is unforgivable, but the Holy Spirit empowers you to be able to forgive. You're gonna know how to love others that are not so lovable. You're gonna know how to be gracious to people when you'd like to be otherwise. You're gonna know how to live a generous life. You're gonna know how to have self-control. You're going to know how to respond when you really are tempted to react. You're going to know how to live in holiness, how to live a Christ-centered life. Yeah, you may have lived a self-centered life. You got born again, but the Holy Spirit's going to show you how to live a Jesus-centered life. You're going to learn how to live in peace instead of just filtering and carrying out worry and anxiety constantly in your life. You're going to know how to live up to your God-given potential in life, how to live as a Christ follower, how to share your faith with others. And you know, sometimes the how-to is actually accomplished simply because the Holy Spirit is the helper in what it is that you're doing. In other words, sometimes all you need that teaches you the how-to is, I just need a little more faith that I could make this happen, and the Spirit of God gives it to you and quickens it in you. I just need some clarity, and the Holy Spirit clarifies your thoughts and gives you direction. I just need some wisdom. Suddenly a thought comes from the Holy Spirit. This is how I ought to do this. I just need some self-control, and something about the Spirit of God just enables you to back off, settle down, don't act now, wait. And then other times it's like, I need some boldness, and the Spirit of God puts a boldness on you and you start saying things you never thought you would say, but they needed to be said. And you just found out how to from the Spirit of God in your life. When the scripture says he will teach you all things, let me just qualify it by saying this. This is not to the exclusion of your effort to learn and grow yourself, to get some knowledge, to learn and grow, on a personal level, because when you learn and when you grow, you open up new horizons for your life. You suddenly give God that much more information and wisdom inside of your life for the Holy Spirit to work with. And I say that because it is so important. And maybe you've had this experience, I know I have, where people have said something to me like, yeah, I just felt like this is what the Lord wanted me to do. And after they did it, it was really obvious. The Lord did not tell them to do what they did. So how do you know that? Because of the fruit of what happened afterwards, the byproduct of it. And you hear people talk and you think, if you just had a little more knowledge, you would know that what you think is your inspiration is not your inspiration. Listen, ignorance isn't bliss. It's actually limiting or possibly even harmful. But with that knowledge, the Holy Spirit is available as your helper to show you how to best apply it to your life. Here's another how-to before we move on to the next one on the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2 says this, when you pass through the waters, I'm going to be there with you. And through the rivers, they're not going to overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Well, how do you walk through things that are over your head, not drown? How do you walk through things that could burn you and leave you scarred for life, but they don't? Well, first of all, I want you to know, I don't want to go through deep waters. I don't want to go through, I pray for a bridge. I pray for boats. You know, I'm like, I don't want to go through deep waters. God bless you, Lord Jesus, a bridge, a boat, something. That's my prayer. I don't want to pass through fires. I give me a fire hydrant. Give me a fire extinguisher. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Extinguish that fire. That's our preference, isn't it? Our preference is to avoid pain. Our preference is to avoid trouble. But life takes us through things that are unavoidable. And passing through deep waters, things that feel over your head, and passing through fire, something where it's like, this could impact me for the rest of my life. Those things happen, and they're not always avoidable. But God says this, I'm going to teach you how to pass through difficult seasons of your life so that you don't drown and you're not scarred for life. And so you can go through some difficult things. You can go through betrayal. You can go through disloyalty. You can go through being under the attack of someone who positions themselves against you, maybe in business or even in family life for that matter. You can be attacked with gossip and accusation. You can go through something as challenging as divorce or bankruptcy, and you don't have to come out the other side feeling like I got swamped, I'm so over my head and I'm still over my head, or I got burned, I'm scarred for life. I can recall going through a difficult season in my life where in my praying about it, I was seriously wondering if I shouldn't step out of ministry to give all of my attention to the situation. And the Holy Spirit so clearly put it in my heart, maintain consistency regarding your walk with God and your ministry calling. In other words, do this daily. And that consistency actually proved to be the key to turning things around and not suffering more unnecessary loss at that time. The Holy Spirit will teach you how. The Holy Spirit will teach you how. John chapter 15 and verse 26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from my Father, namely the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify about me. And you are testifying as well because you have been with me from the beginning. Here's my second thought, and that is this. He will empower you to be a witness. The Holy Spirit in your life is there to empower you to be a witness for Jesus. You know, when it uses the word testify, it means this, serve as evidence or proof. Holy Spirit will serve as evidence. The Holy Spirit will serve as proof. We use the expression bear witness or affirm the truth. Every week we preach the gospel, and every week we here at our church, we have people who are moved to pray and to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. So think, why does that happen? Because as you preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit provides the proof. Jesus is made evident to them by the Holy Spirit. You see, we can't talk anybody into the assurance of salvation. I can't give you enough Bible verses to convince you in your heart that you are saved and right with God. I can't talk you into the assurance of heaven. I can't talk you into the assurance of eternal life. I can't talk you into the experience of your life being transformed and a new beginning. I can't talk you into the experience of righteousness, of knowing, absolutely knowing in your heart of hearts that you are right before God. You are declared innocent. There is no guilt on you. I can't talk you into experiencing the love of God and knowing, absolutely knowing, assured that God loves you just the way you are, accepts you the way you are. I can't talk you into that experience. But the good news is this, I don't have to. I can't talk you into these things. Nobody can talk you into these things, nor do we have to. The Holy Spirit is the testimony of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the proof of Jesus. The Holy Spirit provides the proof. So if you've already been convinced of those things, I want you to know something. The reason you got convinced is because the Holy Spirit convinced you in your heart. The Holy Spirit is how you know those things. How do you know that you're right with God? How do you know that you're forgiven? How do you know that you're part of God's forever family? How do you know that God loves you just the way you are? How do you know is not a question about information. It is a question about experience. And the reason that you know these things is because the Holy Spirit made them evident inside of you. You know these things because you've experienced them through the Holy Spirit. That's one of the functions and roles of the Holy Spirit in your life. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13 says, by this we know that we remain in him and he in us because he has given to us of his Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit that you know those things. Listen, when we share Jesus, it builds faith in people's lives. The Bible even says so. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word concerning Christ. We share the gospel. It brings faith for somebody to believe, but it's the Holy Spirit that brings the experience of salvation. Expect the Holy Spirit to empower your witness. You know, as a believer, you're sharing Jesus, you're stepping into opportunities and talking about Christ in your life, talking about salvation, talking about the gospel. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the proof that will back up your words. Listen, at the first preaching of the gospel, Peter stands up and he preaches after the Spirit of God was outpoured in the book of Acts. You can read about it in Acts chapter 2. And he gets up and he preaches. Here's what the Bible says. They were pierced to the heart and then responded with the question, what should we do? Well, it wasn't Peter that pierced them to the heart. It was the Spirit of God that took what he was saying and then proofed what he was saying, convicted them and convinced them, this is right. You know, I can remember that experience in my own life. I can remember hearing about Jesus and feeling, this is right, and I know I need forgiveness. It's probably my best way to explain it. Just hearing it. And it wasn't like the speaker's delivery. It wasn't any of that sort of thing. It was purely what the Holy Spirit does when Christ is talked about. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you should be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the remotest parts of the earth. And beside that in your Bible, you can write the word Edmonton. Okay. Power is the ability to do things. That's the essence of power. It is the ability to do things by virtue of strength and skill and resource and authority. And when it comes to being empowered to share the gospel, you know, a lot of times it's simply having courage. It's really what it is. Courage is taking action in the face of your thoughts and your emotions that seem to be opposing you. That's what courage is. Courage is speaking up when you're not sure how you're gonna be received. Courage is speaking up when you're not sure, I wonder what question they might ask. But you step into it anyway, you engage it anyway. Courage is when you act in the face of the unknown. There's some unknowns here. The difference between reaching out and staying silent, by the way, isn't knowledge, it's courage. And we lie to ourselves when we say to ourselves, well, I would engage a conversation about Jesus, but I don't know what to say. That is not the reason you are not talking. The reason you're not talking is because you lack courage and you need to lean into the Holy Spirit to give you that courage. The Bible promises in the face of persecution, the scripture says, in the face of persecution, in that hour, it'll be given unto you what to say. So what's the issue? The issue isn't knowledge. The issue isn't, I just need more information. Go read me a whole bunch of books to learn all about what to say to people in certain circumstances. No. You need to lean into your relationship with the Holy Spirit because in that hour, the Holy Spirit will put on your heart what it is you're to say and you need to lean into courage. That's the missing element. Oh, I'd sit down and say amen myself. That's so good. John chapter 16 and verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will guide you into all the truth. Third thought Jesus brings. We need to be guided into truth so that we don't live our lives under a lie. Lies are the strategy of the devil against your life. I promise you, if you're stuck in some place of life, if you're facing some challenge, if there's a lot of discontentment and confusion, you got the devil in your ear lying to you. He is a deceiver. That's his nature. That's who he is. Deception was actually something that the church had to face right from the very beginning of the gospel being preached. Right after Jesus rises from the grave, ascends to heaven, the Holy Spirit's poured out, the church has started, what do they have to deal with? Deception. Deception. The deception of religious legalism, where questions are raised about how much of the Jewish laws do we need to follow in order to be right with God as well as believe in Jesus. You know, today what we do is not quite like that, but today what we do is we look at ourselves and we find, say, an area of temptation or an area of weakness where it's like you fall and you're like, oh, I got angry again. Oh, I got upset again. You feel bad about yourself. And then here's what you do. Here's what you do. Here's how you become legalistic with yourself. You say to yourself, if I can just get victory over this, I'll feel better about my walk with God. And so you go and it's like, man, I haven't been angry for like a week. Man, I'm doing really good. I feel good about me and Jesus, you know, and 2 weeks, never got upset for 2 weeks. And then the moment that you mess it, the moment you blow it, what happens? Your legalism kicks in. That law that you formed in your mind kicks in, and now you feel unworthy. God won't hear my prayer. I feel like a failure. I'm not even sure that I'm really saved. I mean, all of that stuff. Why? Because of the deception of legalism when you're saved by grace through faith. Then there's the deception of lawlessness. The church faced this when the message of grace was coming out. People were getting saved, and you had these people that had no religious background. They're like, whoo, this is great. God forgives everything I do. I guess I can do anything I want to because he will always forgive me. Today, people still struggle with lawlessness, the idea that, well, we're forgiven, so nothing matters. But I want to remind you what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, where the whole chapter talks about your actions, and it addresses things like sexual impurity, greed, getting rid of the old ways of life, lust, falsehood, living in falsehood, stealing by refusing to get a job. That's even in there. It's in the Bible. Can you imagine? And then it comes down to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. After listing all of these actions, and it says this, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, here's what the scripture's saying. Your choices actually do matter. Your choices can actually impact your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Don't think that your salvation now all of a sudden sort of says, well, nothing really matters with my conduct. No, my conduct matters. In fact, the Bible says it can grieve the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit can be like, ah, what'd you do that for? How about this one? Deception about good works. And here's how this played out. It only matters what you believe, not what you practice. As long as you have the right faith, that should be enough. But we've got the book of James telling us in the scriptures to confront that. And it says, listen, if you really have faith, then that real faith is going to get played out by good works that will be the fruit of your faith. In other words, your following Jesus should be shown in the choices that you make in life. You should become a contributor. Not just a spectator who's like, well, I'm a believer, so that's like all I need to do. No. You need to believe, and then you need to have good works, actions that show and reflect that you really do have a relationship with God, because if God's in your life, I promise you this, he's gonna put things in your heart about your contribution. He's gonna put things in your heart about your destiny. He's gonna put things in your heart about how you can make a difference. And he's also gonna connect you into a local church where you're gonna be a part of seeing his church established, which is the plan of Jesus on the earth today. You see, To say that we believe in Jesus means our lives should actually demonstrate it, not just profess it. One more area of truth that the Holy Spirit's gonna help you with in life, and that is this. God's gonna show you the truth about yourself so that you can escape the lies that the enemy tries to put in your life. You know, you go right back to the start of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and what do you read about? Right from the beginning, the devil coming and lying to Eve, telling her, listen, there's a great life you could have if you just disobey God, disregard what he said. He's holding out on you. You know, people still do that today. They still believe the lie that says, if I just live a life independent of God, it's going to be greater than following him. There are times in life when you are vulnerable to a lie, when you go through discouragement, when you're disappointed, if you fall into that trap of comparison, start looking to other people and underappreciating yourself. Painful moments in life, relationships where lies might have even been spoken over you and you took them to heart. And then you carry statements in your heart like, it'll never get better. This always happens to me. Don't expect too much. You just don't have the ability. You're just not that important. Your opinion doesn't really matter, et cetera, et cetera. They go on and on and on. How does the Holy Spirit bring you into truth? How does he expose those lies? Well, he does so through the Word of God. He does so in conjunction with the Word of God. That's why as we started this year, we started talking about get a daily time with God, build this habit, spend time in God's Word every day. Don't miss a day of not opening your Bible and reading something. Just get into the Word of God. Why? Because you position yourself for the Holy Spirit to show you something about you that God wants to change in you for your betterment. You position yourself so the Holy Spirit can speak truth into your life and drive out wrong beliefs and lies that you might have held in your heart. Listen, the Holy Spirit wants to lead you into all truth. Would you stand as we take time to pray? Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. The presence of Jesus. And Father, we embrace that today. We want to grow that. We want to learn how to walk with that in a greater measure than ever. Father, we thank you today that the Holy Spirit wants to teach us how. Lord, there's things that we face in life. We just need to know how to deal with them. And so, Holy Spirit, as we open up our heart to you, as we pray, as we look to you, I thank you that you'll speak to our hearts. You'll quicken our minds. You'll give us a thought. You'll give us a direction. You'll give us a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge and understanding. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us how. I thank you as well, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is given to us to give us power to be a witness, to take action, to speak up. Father, I thank you for boldness and courage, filling the hearts of believers to not be silent about such a vital subject. To not be silent when, Lord, we literally hold the answer for people's eternal life and life here today on earth. But God, let us be courageous. Let your Spirit prompt us, enable us, and empower us. I thank you as well that your Spirit wants to guide us into all truth. I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we walk with you, as we get into your word, may you expose lies in our hearts. May you speak to us about that. May you rid us of those things and guide us into the truth of what God's word says about us. Lord, may we live in the truth. May we not be bound by the lies. May we be directed by your truth. May we not be misguided by lies. In Jesus' name. I want to pray one more prayer for you who are here listening. You know, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit guiding us into truth, and we talked about different forms of deception that the church had to deal with right from the beginning. And sometimes when it comes to salvation, people have some deception about that. They think, you know, I need to clean myself up, make myself ready. If I'm going to follow Jesus, I don't think I'm ready because I need to, you know, change some things in my life. No, that's wrong. That's a deception. God takes you just the way you are. All you have to do is just turn it over to him, and he begins working with you just as you are. Or they think, you know, my life is so much of a mess, and I've just gone so far, I don't think Jesus would even want me. No, that's a lie too. Read the Bible. And you'll find people that, I promise you, I guarantee you, have gone further than you have. You'll find murderers. You'll find all kinds of messes in people's lives and people that have really gone in horrible directions, but it was never too far for God not to pick them up right where they were and turn their lives around. Maybe you think, well, I'd accept Jesus into my life, but I just need to, you know, believe in him as my Savior. And I guess that's all I need to do. And you maybe misunderstand that Christ is not coming into your life just to be your Savior, but he comes in as who he is, which is he is God. He is Lord. And that when we say yes to Jesus, we're not just accepting the benefit of his salvation, we're accepting the person of Christ into our lives to be the leader in our lives. That's why salvation requires a prayer that says, I surrender. I surrender to your forgiveness. I also surrender to your leadership to do life your way and embrace the purposes of God that he has for your life. And so I want to pray with you. I want to give you the opportunity to respond to the Lord right now. And if you're someone who says, you know what, I don't carry an assurance of my salvation, maybe some of these things have been the reason why. Maybe you've held back thinking you've got to fix things up. Maybe you've thought, oh, I'm not so sure he'd accept me anyway. Maybe you thought, well, I prayed to accept him as a Savior. I don't know why I don't feel safe. It's because you've never surrendered to his Lordship. And so I want to pray with you right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you did provide salvation when you went to the cross, died and rose again. But you also are the Lord of the universe. You are God. And so I ask you to forgive me. I invite you into my life and I confess you as my Savior and the Lord of my life. I'll follow you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening with us today. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you'd like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.